Mike Clay, ESPN NFL analyst and fantasy football expert, joins us once again. And Mike, it's a kind of a whirlwind for some people. You know, anytime you see a COVID test, you think, hey, maybe the game's going to be postponed. But it sounds like as of right now, today, all games are good to go for this weekend.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, we've had a little bit of drama over the past couple of days, right, with, you know, some positive tests popping up. But so far, you know, they seem to be one player or they seem to be false positive. So we'll see how things go. Hopefully everyone stays healthy the rest of the season. You know, I don't know if that's realistic, but you obviously hope that's the case for everyone's family and friends. So we'll see how things go. But for now, yeah, if you're out there, you know, playing fantasy, betting, whatever it is, just excited to watch the games. It seems like everything's good to go for this week.
I know, Mike, you watch a lot of film. You break down a lot of different things. You know, Ryan Tannehill last year had some decent numbers. This year, though, he's kind of taken it even to a higher level. And this was a guy who, for the first 7-8 years of his career, didn't look very good at all. Is it just the system, or is Tannehill doing something personally that has made him so much better?
I think it's a mix of both, right? I mean, being in the right situation is always going to help your cause, and that's really regardless of position. You know, obviously a scheme can make a player's job easier or tougher. So you're right. I mean, he's still playing at a pretty high level. His efficiency compared to last season has regressed a little bit. If you're looking at a stat like yards per attempt, he led the NFL in that category last season at 9.6, which is ridiculously high. He's down to 7.6 this year, which is just a little bit above league average. So, you know, his rate stats have come down a bit as expected, but again, he's still putting up a ton of production. He is, you know, 9 passing touchdowns. He ran for another one already this season. So, you know, he's still been a pretty good player. And, you know, look, this is a Tennessee offense that they try to run around Derrick Henry. He hasn't been quite as explosive so far. They actually took a few touches away from him last week, probably trying to rest him a little bit for the stretch run like they've done in years past. But, you know, they certainly want to build this game around the run game and the play action. And, the defense has been kind of hit or miss so far. But, yeah, the Titans, look, I was a little lower on them than I should have been. I thought the Colts would win that division, and they still could, obviously. But it looks like the Titans are the real deal this season.
Well, Tannehill joined Brett Favre as the only quarterback in the last 30 years to complete every pass in the red zone. Like, so that's part of the quarterback, but obviously they're making right play calls. The Titans, what do you make of their offensive play calling at this point?
The Titans, yeah. I mean, I mean, it's hard to argue with what they're doing, right? I mean, when you're scoring 3-4 touchdowns a game every week going back to around the midpoint of last season, I mean, who am I to say anything negative about it? So, look, in the modern day and age, you know, we're starting to learn that throwing the football is more important than ever, but you're also seeing teams have success building around the run game, going run first and working heavily with play action. So, yeah, I don't know that this is an offense that's overwhelmed with top-end talent, especially with the injuries, right? You have Corey Davis on the COVID list. Adam Humphrey was on the list. Cameron Batson was on the list. But you look at Jonnu Smith, who's really broken out here in his third or fourth season in the league, and A.J. Brown is still early in his second year. He's missed some time with an injury. Derrick Henry, again, they're not we haven't seen his best work of 2020 just yet. So, and like you said earlier, you know, Ryan Tannehill, when he was with Miami and under Adam Gase, he wasn't really performing well. Now suddenly he's playing his best ball. So this is a really good scheme, and they've done a nice job.
Well, I've said it for years, Adam Gase, I don't understand how he's play calling. Like, the Jets are a debacle. He was a debacle in Miami. It doesn't make much sense to me. I thought that was a bad hire from the get-go, and it looks like it's staying that way. Mike Clay joins us from ESPN. Mike, the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers battling for first place this late in the year hasn't happened for decades. Cleveland hasn't won in Pittsburgh in almost 20 years. And, you know, they look pretty good all of a sudden. Like, they got crushed in week one against Baltimore. But since then, they've reeled off 4 straight victories. You know, granted, not against a Baltimore Raven caliber team. So is this now kind of, okay, we'll see if the Browns are for real, or they're just a good team but not necessarily in the elite category?
Yeah, this is absolutely going to be a great test. I thought the Pittsburgh Steelers would be decent competition to the Ravens this season because they're a pretty good team on paper. So, and look, Cleveland's had a tough test already. That was week one against Baltimore. And like you said, they got crushed in that game. So they've been on a roll, but We used to see, you know, if they can get it done against one of the teams that looks like they're going to be one of the better teams in the AFC this season. So I'm really intrigued because, you know, even on the Pittsburgh side, I mean, I think the offense has been about as expected, but the defense is disappointed so far, right? They're giving up a lot of production, a lot of touchdowns, and there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball. So I've been a little underwhelmed, and we'll see if they show up for this one. But, yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is going to be a big test for a Cleveland team that's, you know, leaned pretty heavily on the run so far, but they've been scoring at a high rate, and they've kind of covered up some of Baker Mayfield's issues so far, right? He has struggled. He's made some mistakes, and, you know, you've seen the content out there. You know, there's a lot of people looking at advanced metrics saying, hey, this Cleveland team is maybe one of the worst 4-1 teams ever. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to see if they can continue to use their scheme and their game plan and then turn it into victories. And by the way, I'm a big fan of Kevin Stefanski. Did a really nice job with the Minnesota offense last season, led Kirk Cousins to his most efficient season ever, and maybe he can continue to get Baker Mayfield turned around and pointed in the right direction.
Mike Clay from ESPN joins us. Mike, of course, there's four pretty good teams with a lot of fantasy players on bye weeks this week. So a lot of guys are looking to their bench. So who are some bench plays that are likely going to be activated that you like this week?
Yeah, you know what? I was just looking at the Steelers offense, and of course, we were just talking about them as well, and I think that's a place to go. Now, a lot of people picked up Chase Claypool off waivers this week and probably spent a lot to do it. Deontay Johnson is not going to play in this game. He's ruled out, so that's your free pass to fire up Claypool, the guy you just got off waivers. He should be in lineups. But I'll go a little deeper here and go James Washington as well. He's playing just as much as these other guys. In fact, he's the starter opposite Deontay Johnson with Juju Smith-Schuster in the slot. But Chase Claypool kind of just stepped into that Johnson role and had a big game last week. So James Washington is a guy to keep an eye on. Maybe you're beat up at that spot. You have some injuries. And like you said, bye weeks, maybe James Washington sitting out there on waivers and nobody's really paying attention to him with Claypool getting all the attention right now. So I'd look that direction. Laviska Shenault is on. You know, he's picking up more and more volume every week. I like him against Detroit. And honestly, I would look to that game. I think that Jaguars-Lions game could be really high scoring. So, you know, even a guy like Marvin Jones, who hasn't been doing so hot out of the gate so far, maybe he's a guy that's more productive this week and you can consider for your flex spot or even your wide receiver spot.
What do you think of Le'Veon Bell now that he's going to go to the Chiefs?
You know what? Just another backfield headache, right, guys? You know, just what else is new in the NFL and in fantasy? I mean, it's just committee after committee after committee. And look, I mean, with Edwards-Helaire, we had a situation where we had a clear-cut lead back. You know, the production wasn't what we wanted yet, but the volume was. You know, he was top five or is top five at running back in carries, and he's in the top 10 in targets as well. You know, that's not going to be the case going forward, at least after this week once Bell's in there. They didn't sign Le'Veon Bell to just stand on the sideline, right? And Bell wouldn't sign there if he was going to stand on the sideline. I still think he has something left in the tank. You know, he's not 32 like LeSean McCoy was. I think he's going to be a factor in this offense and probably primarily as a pass catcher and a pass blocker. So Bell is going to be a tough guy to feel great starting about unless he takes the 1A job in this offense, but you know, this is one of the higher scoring offenses and pass heaviest offenses in the NFL. So there's certainly some a chance that he could work his way into the flex arena, maybe even in the RB2 conversation if that offense really starts scoring at a high level again. By the way, as for Edwards-Helaire, definitely takes a hit. I think he's down in the running back two conversation after this week. And he could fall a little bit further depending on what Bell does.
One position that maybe gets overlooked sometimes, depending on how a league is set up, is defense. Right? Depending on, you know, if it's a group, like now, if you have individual defense, that's one thing. But I'm just talking where you have just the overall team defense. And now, you've seen a few weeks now, strength of schedule, now that your strength of schedule is based on the teams this year, right, and who they're facing. Is there a defense that maybe is on the waiver wire that you think could be a good pickup, not necessarily just for this week, Mike, but moving forward and ahead as some teams get on buys or you maybe see better matchups?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, too. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, what my rankings for this week, and, you know, I have a team like Indianapolis at the top. I mean, Baltimore's probably rostered. I think the Rams are probably rostered at this point. Tampa Bay, Chicago, you know, Cleveland's pretty – actually, this is going forward. Excuse me. These are my rankings going forward, the projections that you could find at ESPN. So, again, Colts, Ravens, Rams, Bucks, Bears. I think the Bears, I've actually seen them out there in a few of my leagues, so that's a one to keep an eye on. Obviously, a ton of talent there. I think some people are probably a little down on New England right now. You know, they had the bye week. Some people cut them loose, but that's a defense that is still very good. You know, they had some tough competition there, a couple of tough games, but that's a defense that still has a ton of talent, especially in the secondary. So I think those, you know, I think from that group, you could probably pick one up or have one of those on your roster. That's kind of where I would lean right now.
What is your thoughts? Some people don't care. They don't even care about their kicker. They're just like, bah, whatever. But like, is, you know, like right now, maybe the best fantasy player might be the kicker on the New York Giants, Graham Gano, right? Because he's kicking, he's getting a lot of field goals attempts and he's hitting them.
Oh, man. Yeah. Not really. I don't think you really want to go the Giants direction if you're looking for a kicker, just because that offense is struggling so much. And generally, it's going to trend away. So you're right. I mean, they've been settling for field goals, and he's a decent play, I think, in the short term. But over time, if they're not going to be able to move the football down the field, he's not going to be a great option. So, yeah, I mean, look, I have him fourth at kicker this week. I don't know if that's going to sustain itself long term. But the Giants, man, they have to start scoring points. I mean, Daniel Jones hasn't thrown a touchdown much since week one. I mean, it's just been a mess. But, for now, I guess if you need a kicker, Gano's an option.
Mike, you were ahead of the field a lot on Justin Herbert. I got to say, 3 weeks or a month ago, you were telling people, pick him up. And obviously, you know, that has worked out very well for people who have picked him up. You know, you look at certain guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, when you look at his numbers, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick's actually a pretty good start for a quarterback.
There's no question about it. He's been playing at a really high level so far. The Dolphins are better than I think people realize, certainly better than I thought they would be in the offseason. But Fitzpatrick now has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback four straight weeks. He has 21 plus points in all four of those games. He's up to seventh in fantasy points at quarterback. So there's no question, if you're struggling at that spot, or you lost Dak Prescott, or you have a quarterback on a bye week, that this is a guy you can consider. Now, he's at home. He's playing the Jets this week. You know, that is a good matchup for him. I'm a little worried they're going to run the ball a lot, and that could perhaps, you know, keep his passing yardage number down. But again, in that matchup at home against the Jets, I think he's a guy you can feel comfortable firing up.
Now, I saw a lot of people probably went out and picked him up on waivers after his breakout game with the Philadelphia Eagles. Granted, there was a lot of injuries, but what's your thoughts on Mr. Folgum? Do you think, you know, is that a one-hit wonder, or is this a guy that people you know, should keep? Or pick up? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to pick him up right now because, you know, who else is Carson Wentz going to throw it to, right? You know, there's not much there. It's Travis Fulgham. It's Greg Ward. You know, it's, you know, eventually Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, but they're both out again this week. You know, they have John Hightower, who was a day three draft pick. He had over 200 air yards last week. You know, he'll see a few targets as well. Zach Ertz has been struggling. Dallas Goedert's still out. You know, so they have to go somewhere with the football, and all indications are that even when Jackson and Jeffrey are back, that Fulgham is going to remain a big part of this offense. So if he's somehow still sitting out there in your waiver wire in 12-team leagues, you got to scoop him up. And they play Baltimore this week. It is a very tough game, and there's definitely a chance of a dud, but he's 37th on my board. So that means he's a, you know, and again, in 12-team leagues, he's a flex option.
What do you make of Tyler Boyd against the Colts this weekend?
Boyd, I mean, you're going to start him, right? I mean, the first couple of weeks his targets were down and they were really force-feeding A.J. Green. That didn't go well, right? So they kind of got away from that, started to spread the ball around to T. Higgins, and you even saw some targets to the tight end. But the guy who was really getting most of the work was Tyler Boyd. And, you know, they just have a high-floor, solid player they know they can rely on. And it took Joe Burrow a couple of weeks to figure that out. But so far, he's been going his direction. The Colts, by the way, you know, that's who, of course, the Bengals are playing this week. Pretty good, or very good, I should say, against wide receivers, especially guys that line up on the outside. But slot receivers have done a pretty nice job against them. So Tyler Boyd has a decent matchup in this one against Kenny Moore. So, again, if you have him, Tyler Boyd should be in your lineup.
When you look at matchups and different trends and stuff like that, you you look now, you've had 6 weeks. You know, some of those bad teams, like fantasy's tough, Mike, because, you know, some guys might get like gravy points, right? You're like, hey, if that's a receiver on a bad team, he might actually be better off than some of the good receivers on good teams, potentially because the trailing teams are going to be throwing all the time. You know, and Cincinnati's not a team that leads a whole bunch. Are you concerned about Gallup, CeeCee Lamb, and Amari Cooper with the injury to Dak Prescott?
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting about that is that the Cowboys have led on 6% of their offensive snaps so far this season. That is one of the lowest marks in the NFL.
Wow.
They were dead last going into last week. It went from 2% up to 6% in that game. So they've already been in that situation all season. It's not going to get better with Dak Prescott out, of course. It's really going to come down to if their defense plays better and keeps them competitive in game. So, I'm going to knock all these guys down a bit. They're not going to run as many offensive snaps as they have. That 6% number, you know, even though Dak's gone and they're worse at quarterback, it's going to go up. I mean, it's just not reasonable to expect a team to be that low. And honestly, you know, Andy Dalton might surprise a little bit because his supporting cast is good, right? I mean, how many quarterbacks say they can, you know, throw to Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb, not to mention having Zeke Elliott running routes out of the backfield? I mean, that's a really good group of weapons. So I have Cooper as a number two wide receiver. I have CeeDee Lamb, more of a back-end wide receiver three. And Gallup right now, I don't think he could start. I mean, he's a 12% target share. You know, some number three receivers that aren't even close to rosters are getting 12% target shares. You know, he was at 20 last year. That number has to be a lot higher. And maybe Andy Dalton will like him. Maybe he'll throw it to him a lot more, and he'll end up being a fantasy starter. But for now, he needs to be on benches.
Mike, I love that. I never knew 6% of their snaps. My goodness. I guess they're giving up a lead early. It's like they're trailing the whole time.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible how poor their defense has been. And we've seen that with a couple defenses, including, Atlanta, who's been another one. Seattle, you know, defenses that have really allowed a ton of production from the opposing offenses. But, Dallas is surprising. They've had a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we don't even talk about Gerald McCoy, who was supposed to be big for them inside. And they, you know, he got waived with an injury designation before the season because he got hurt, you know, early on. So it's been a rough go for them so far. I think the defense will play better as guys get healthier. But for now, they're just going to have to keep throwing the football.
Great stuff as always, Mike. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. You too, guys. Take care.